It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. It is January 7th, 2021. Can't speak for you, but I usually do anyway. I don't want to talk about the events of January 6th, 2021. Not our bag. Not what we do here. However, I want to say two things. I want to tell you the best tweet I saw about it and the best meme I saw about it. My wife showed me the best meme. Which I don't know the meme picture. It's some dude raising a glass or whatever. And it says, well, was a good 5 days. Here's to 2022. But what I really loved was this morning scrolling through the tweets. And I saw one that just said, America, I'm going to need you to make a constitution savings throw. I like that one a lot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that does what we must because we can for the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 512.
I like that. For a second, it looked like you forgot who you were.
No, I'm
I assume
just,
you were
just
getting
can't.
The number right.
What you just did was put my brain on two tracks, one trying to remember what you were referencing just now, and the other trying to say my bit.
And that was absolutely not intentional.
What's it from?
It's from Portal. It's the still alive song at the end of Portal.
Yeah.
Still. I do not know why, but earlier today I got that in my head, and I was like, man, I love that song. So there we are. For those of you just joining
us, trying over
every mistake, you just keep on trying till you run out of cake and the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
Right.
Weirdly, I feel like my favorite line from that is, I'm being so sincere right now. The start of the second verse is, I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. And I'm like, that when people talk about how to define irony versus coincidence, I'm like, hey, here's a good example. For those of you just joining us, welcome. You're only 511 episodes late. We have a hat. It's right over there. You just can't see it. Not his hat. Past William, point behind you for those who are on YouTube.
Wait, no, I gotta point this way.
Yeah, there. It's right over there. The hat's right over there in my world, not in his. Technology's confusing. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, all you wonderful people, and some of you who haven't yet but should and will, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically on its own transmogrifies the emails into little note cards, manifest physically with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's science doing servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. I really am getting too much into the visuals these days. It's going to be sad for the people who are just listening. But given I think there's like six people who consume this at all, there's probably only one or two that are just listening. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Has it? Oh, we did this on New Year's Eve.
We did.
So this is our first one of the year.
Yep.
But just barely.
Yep.
Did you stay up for New Year's Eve?
Yes, very late, actually.
I stayed up for New Year's Eve, but was so not doing New Year's Eve things that it was like quarter to one where I was like, oh, it's the new year. Okay. Apparently I could have watched one of the New Year's Eve live bash things because Hulu was doing Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve or something. You could watch it on Hulu, but I did not. I'm not even sure. No, wait. I think when I came to bed, Trish was still awake. So we did a New Year's smooch, but it was like a couple hours late.
We were aware when it was midnight, and I just don't even remember what we were doing at the time. I don't remember.
Playing Skyrim.
I mean, there might have been a video game involved. I just don't recall. Don't remember.
What are you guys playing lately?
Well, Abby tried to play Spider-Man, and I think when I talked about this before, you asked if it was the Miles Morales one, which I thought it was, but it wasn't.
Yes, well, and for the record, that whole conversation happened off the air, so I don't think the other ones heard that.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway.
But, okay, so it's not the most recent one.
Mm-mm. I thought it was. But that wasn't.
My neighbor played the previous one and he liked it. So
I mean it seems fine, but I mean she played it like for a few hours and we haven't really gotten back to it. So I don't know. I think she liked it okay, but yeah, I mean so yeah, we haven't I don't know. She likes playing video games this time of year. It's like it feels like there should be a video game we're playing. But it's almost always a certain video game. Like it's almost always Mass Effect or Fallout or Dragon Age, you know. And there's just nothing. There are no new games in those franchises or really anything that feels like that. So I think she's just missing something like that.
I'm telling you, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I think she would love it.
Well, she might, but. Then she might feel obligated to play all of the Assassin's Creed games. And I'm not sure she wants to play them all. Like,
I don't think she needs to per se. The game before Odyssey was kind of a reboot. It wasn't. It is still a sequel, but it was kind of a jumping off point for people who hadn't been involved. Also, there are intense wikis out there to give you any backstory, although I don't think you need a lot. There's a little bit that would not mean as much if you just played it by itself, but I'll put it this way. If she plays it and likes it and wants more about it, I am a certified expert on Assassin's Creed, having played all the games. So I can give a lot of advice, but come on. I sent you my Wonder Woman screenshots. How did that
Which not were very cool.
make it up? I am deep into Odyssey, and it's funny because I didn't think I liked it as well as the game before, and the reasons I didn't are still there, but it is such a gorgeous open world, and they did such a good job. There's a lot of very generic quests in places that sort of don't matter in the long run and stuff, and they seem big at the time, and then you move on and nobody says anything again, but they still have really solid characters, and in particular the main character Cassandra. Like, I have a very strong sense of her, and I very much make my decisions based on what I think she would do. But it's just gorgeous. And I mean, I'm just doing little crap now. I've got a little bit more before the DLC of, but I'm just doing little side missions that'll never matter because I'm just enjoying it. I don't think it's going to happen, but this could be the first game I ever do a platinum trophy on.
Wow.
Because I'm getting really close already with a lot of it. And I probably won't, again, because there's some stuff that you have to do that's like annoying. And I sort of take pride in the fact that I'm not willing to do that to get an achievement on the PlayStation Network. But I think this will be the closest I've gotten.
What is
140 hours into it.
What is Assassin's Creed Valhalla? What's that?
That's the next one, which I say I've played all of them. I haven't played that one yet. I'm usually one or two behind. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is the next game after this. Mm. It is currently the most current one.
So, I mean, I think she is actually a little interested in that one, but that's the one you can't give us any insight into, huh?
No.
The one that she might be interested in. Hmm.
And I don't know that you can look like Wonder Woman in that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, though, because there's a thing, and it's really cool. And these new, like I said, since the sort of soft reboot, they've been doing this, and I really like it. Whatever equipment you can get, you can change your pieces of equipment to actually look on you like any piece of equipment you've already found.
Mm.
And so if you got an outfit that you think is really cool, and then that's what happened. I got an Amazon outfit from something, and it was, and the stats were really good. It was awesome. Later, I got a different outfit that's way better, but it looked, I didn't like it. So I just made it all look like the Amazon outfit. And I've discovered later that there are little things where you can unlock, like for a given look, you can unlock, like it's made of wrought iron, or it's made of silver, or it's bronze, or things like that. And those are often linked to like hitting a certain level or whatever. So the Wonder Woman outfit is not a real piece of outfit. It's not real equipment. Mm. It's a look option I can pick in the menu. And I think it's based off of the Amazon one because it looks kind of similar, but with a different color pattern, and it would make sense thematically. And it's not called one. It's called the Wondrous, you know, the Wondrous Circlet and the Wondrous Armor and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think I just hit a level where I unlocked it because I don't remember finding it, but I was like, I'm going to change my look. And I was in there and I was like, holy shit.
It's very cool.
It is. And that's what I'm wearing. Well, I sort of have three outfits that I switch in depending on how my stats are set up at the time. But my main one, my warrior one, is I look like Wonder Woman just all the time now. It's awesome.
Cool.
Yes. I bought more games. I spent $60+ on PlayStation the other day. Because everything's on sale right now.
Right.
And because winter is here. And yeah. Between COVID and winter, I'm going to be playing a lot of video games so that I can stay alive and not murder people. So I bought for $60+ I bought the Final Fantasy VII remake, which I didn't have any interest in, because Final Fantasy VII, even though it is far and away the biggest deal of the Final Fantasy games, was never one of my favorites. It was fine, but I've liked others better. And I also didn't really care about a remake of it. But everybody in the world really likes it. And like, I kept seeing it on lists of like best games of 2020 or games that got me through the pandemic during 2020 and stuff like that. And it was on sale. And so I asked a friend who I trust, and they're like, yeah, it's pretty good. So I got that. And then I got Witcher 3, plus it's two expansions, even though I never finished Witcher 2. Because I really shouldn't have said this earlier, I should save it for now. Everyone thinks Witcher 3 is the best game in the history of the world. I have not heard anyone, even a show I watch that reviews games comedically just to make fun of them, said it was good. Like, he never says games are good, and he said this was good. He had criticisms, and all of his criticisms were just certain things he doesn't like that I'm like, I love those things. So I'm like, I'm not going to play it now, but at some point I got to play it. And it was really cheap because when everybody's already purchased it, they're like, oh, we'll discount it heavily. And then I bought an old RPG from 4 years ago called Technomancer. That's a sci-fi looking thing that I'm sure is terrible, but I've been really curious for years, and it was marked down to like $3. So I was like, whatever, I'll grab that. And I've been playing a little bit on the side, the sequel to the Sherlock Holmes game.
Right.
This is the one that only cost me $250.
Right.
And I get why. I finished the other one. Okay. And this one is, okay, it's very weird. Same company making it. Same basic premise. Same menu layout. They've changed the interface's look cosmetically, but it's the same deal.
Sure.
Same characters in terms of, like, there's Sherlock and Watson, but there's also Toby the dog and stuff like this. Same office, like same home. The 221B Baker Street looks the same. Everything has a slightly different artistic style, but it's the same thing otherwise.
Sure.
But it's set the same year as the previous one ended. And I know this partially because we know what year it is, but also they very specifically talk about, like, you meet the new neighbor, who's this woman. And at the very end of the last game, there was a new neighbor moving in, and it was a young woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so this is like right after. But Watson and Sherlock have completely different personalities than they did. And also the game just decided, you know what people loved about this mystery solving game? Shit tons of more mini games that you have to do to further the story.
Right.
And so now if I want to go find a clue by eavesdropping on some people in a bar, I have to do this thing with the thumbsticks where I keep them in the same circle long enough to hear it. Or when I send my little street urchin Wiggins to go find out some shit for me, I have to do it. I have to become Wiggins and tail some motherfucker down the street. And then when I'm blocked off for whatever reason, I have to go a different way, which at one point includes hurriedly offering to clean someone's chimney so I can climb up to the roof. And guess what? The chimney cleaning, a mini game, which if I don't succeed, I suffocate.
You suffocate?
From the fumes.
Wow.
But I can't just climb the chimney. I have to clean it like I said I was going to. I did it 4 times. On the 4th time, I got out the top. And then the screen went black and it said suffocated like it did all the other times. But then the screen lit up again and I was out on top of the roof. And it was fine. And I was like, fuck this game just in its entirety. And then I remembered an option that still exists here that existed in the old one that I never used in the old one. You can skip pretty much every minigame. You can hit a button and say, yeah, I don't want to do this. And just shit that doesn't make sense. There's a big thing where you, like, because you know how there's a big trope with Sherlock Holmes that a person, he sees a person and he, like, looks them over. And by looking at them, he can tell, like, their whole history and all that shit.
Right.
That's in this game. When you see somebody, you do a character portrait and you basically look over them and you have to find spots and they give you, like, hints about the person. In the new game, some of those hints are left up to me to decide what they mean. So, like, I'm doing a profile on this kid and I get to the thing that he has red eyes and I have to pick if that means he was crying recently or has conjunctivitis. Also, I don't know if I got it right and I don't know what might happen if I had gotten it wrong. So it's just something to make me more nervous that I've got stuff wrong. Also, the game has a difficulty level, which I don't understand how that works either. But so haven't finished the first. Also, I have a daughter. I mean, Devil's Daughter, you might have guessed. But yeah, I have a daughter in this one. She showed up because her boarding school flooded. So she's staying in Watson's room. Watson's sleeping on the couch. It's not weird. But she's not my real daughter because it came up. Apparently, I'm the guy who killed or is responsible for the death of her real father. And I just never told her. And Watson's not allowed to tell her because if he did, I'd lose her. And that's, I don't want that. By the way, the Sherlock from the first game, I don't even think would have known what a child was. Also, the Watson from the first game was rock stupid. It's very confusing now. They also both appear younger than they were in that game. But anyway, so it's not very good. And I haven't really gone back to it recently. But I might try one of the other ones. Because I really like this thing where I play two or three games and when one is getting boring, I switch. Like, that's proving very nice. And then when I get bored of that one, I switch back. Excuse me. I'm on a roll tonight. I'm not feeling good today.
No?
No.
What's the matter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I felt mostly queasiness and I've had some intestinal issues. And I don't know what has caused it, but I will admit there is a prime suspect. Last night, I ate an entire medium Meat Lover's pizza in one sitting. And for some reason, the dude who made it, I assume it was a dude for some reason also, really went heavy with the topping. So there was a lot of meat involved. And I regretted it last night. And today I'm wondering if that's why I'm regretting a lot of things. But yeah, I've not done well today. Which is why also today I've eaten one yogurt and one banana. Oh, and I just had a tangerine. So what's been up with your week other than a little bit playing Spider-Man?
It seems like we've been watching stuff, but I don't know. It hasn't made much of an impression. We've been playtesting that game every Saturday since it started. So we did that this Saturday. It's very fun. It's very interesting. You expressed some interest in what it would be like for me to play a criminal, because that's what I'm playing, a criminal. Mm-hmm. Or maybe what interested you was I was playing myself as a criminal, basically.
Well, the last time we talked about this game at all, you had just created the characters. Mm-hmm. And you were playing a criminal, and you were playing a very departure from what you normally play, you thought, because not only were you playing a criminal, but you said normally you play versions of yourself, or not versions of yourself, and this time you're basically playing yourself, but a criminal. Right. So this was a lot of expanding horizons in terms of how you've role-played before, so I was curious how this would go.
Yeah, it would be easier to play a criminal who's
not you.
Some kind of an alien or based on an historical figure, whatever, that'd be easy. But what I mean, one of the reasons why I decided to play someone who was like me in every respect, except a criminal, having a different background, obviously, that, you know, to facilitate that criminality, was because I wanted to focus on the criminality. Like, I didn't want to be distracted by having antenna or, you know.
Oh, and so you wouldn't have to think about the rest, really, because it's just reflexively, you'd know, here's what I would do.
Right. I wanted to focus on the criminal bit. I wanted to get that bit right.
That's smart. And I have never heard of somebody making that sort of reasoning. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be playing yourself, but playing some character that for some reason you know really well. I've never thought of that. That's a good idea. I might think of that the next time I play something. I might be like, okay, what do I want to focus on? And then I'll fill the rest with stuff that I just sort of have muscle memory for.
Exactly. I don't have muscle memory for anything else but me. So
there you go.
Well, but also it was good for the game, or at least I thought it was, because there might be, I'm the only non-genetically modified human as far as I know. If there's other humans, they have had genetic modification or cybernetic modification, I think. There might be one other player, but I don't know. That player's having experiences that Bill wouldn't have. That's another thing. My character's name is Bill. Let's just say I'm the person. If I'm not the only human, I'm the one having the most human experiences in the game. Everybody else is having unusual experiences, and mostly because they're not human. And I just thought that would be. I think I'm also the only criminal in the game. So.
Wait, is your last name Burr? Are you just playing the dude from Mandalorian?
I don't. I haven't come up with a last name for.
Maybe it's Burr.
No, I don't think it's Burr. I don't. I kind of try to avoid having last name for the character, but that'll probably happen.
So, how's it being playing this character?
Well, you know, I take all things more seriously than most people do. Even things I don't think I'm taking by my standards is usually more serious than other people take it. So it's been challenging because it's challenging in a very specific way.
It's been challenging to explain why it's challenging.
It is challenging to explain why it's challenging. It's because it's not hard for me to imagine or, you know, up with criminal ways of thinking, right? I mean, when you're a person who, we've talked about this before, when you're a person who tries to like be a decent person in the world, I think some people think of someone like that, a quote unquote good person or quote unquote nice person, as a person who is less sophisticated and less, you know, kind of dumber than most people.
Nice via naivete rather than nice,
right?
Because you've decided to be nice.
Sure. But the fact of the matter is, if you're a person who like thinks about what the right thing is, and, you know, tries to do the best thing in certain circumstances, the fact is, you know, quite a lot about being bad. You just choose not to do that.
No, and I, as somebody who works really hard to be as bad as possible, I couldn't be like that without being acutely aware of things I could do that might actually help people or
That's
be
right.
good. Yeah, no, I get it.
So it's not hard to think of bad or to think of if I was going to be a bad person, what would I do? The difficult thing is in resisting the impulse to do the right thing. Right? It's like, even while you're playing this character, you kind of trying to improvise in the moment, and you start to do, you know, for lack of a better term, the right thing or the good thing. And it's like, whoa, no, that's not what my character would do. My character would do this thing, you know? So it's been challenging in that respect, not in thinking about what the bad thing would be, but in, you know, in fighting that impulse. But also another way it's difficult is when C.S. Lewis wrote Screwtape Letters,
which I still have not read. I really want to.
I think it's excellent. The Screwtape Letters.
The entire premise is brilliant to me, and I think Lewis is a good writer. So,
well, and it's well executed as far as I'm concerned. But he did talk about how it really messed with his head to write it. You know, and I've only experienced a little bit of that, like, you know, not even so much from playing the game, but from like, since we've been playing it every week and you have some time to think about what happened and what you might want to do next. I spent a lot of time thinking about Bill and what he's doing, what he's experiencing and what he might want to do. So the whole experience of both playing and thinking about the character for extended periods afterwards, and I'm taking notes in a notebook and everything, sometimes afterwards I feel like, this doesn't feel good. I mean, it's just a character. It shouldn't matter, but it doesn't feel good.
No, and that is a thing. And I've discovered that in my friends. I've also, in the video game things where you where you have morality choices and you're like, I want to see what the bad guy is like. Oh no, this is not good. But yeah, no, I try, you might already be on this page and you might be explaining it the way you're explaining it to make it clearer and easier to explain. If I was going to give advice based on what you have said, I would say stop thinking of him as a bad guy or things like that. Figure out the motivation. Because here's the thing. Unless they're really poorly made, villains aren't villains and bad guys aren't bad guys for the sake of being bad. They're perfectly happy to do good things when it serves the purpose or, you know, doesn't interfere with others. So you can be a good person, except for in the one way that, you know, you're willing to kill anybody to get money or, you know, whatever.
Well, you're right in pointing out that I'm only using that terminology for for ease of use. The fact of the matter is this character, most of the time, he's breaking the law. He doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. I mean, because the laws are unjust. He's fine with that. But the things that bother even his conscience, because here's the thing. You know, he breaks laws that he thinks are unjust and he's fine with that. But that means he's breaking the law. That means he's vulnerable to being caught and arrested, right? And, you know, he doesn't want to get arrested. Also, he's taking care of other people besides himself. So there are going to be times where to protect himself and or others and or the criminal enterprise in general, which he generally thinks the criminal enterprise is a moral good, actually. But sometimes to protect them, he has to do things. They're protecting something good, but they're also bad.
He has to do means that ends means that are justified by the ends. Exactly. He has to choose the lesser of two evils, things
right.
like that.
Right. There are but moral I mean, dilemmas.
As, yeah. As yeah. long as you've got what motivates him in place, I think then you're all set.
But I think I also want him to not like doing those things.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah. I want there to be, like, I think of him as someone who, like, one of the questions that Dave Avid is the GM for this. One of the questions he wanted us to consider was there was a war, right? A galactic war, and so he wanted to know where the characters were when the war ended. And for this character, for Bill, he was doing his job. He was washing dishes or whatever. And when he first heard that the war had ended, he felt guilty because he was glad that, you know, there would be, that the war was over and people wouldn't be losing their lives, including, you know, the working class people that he knew, right? But that it weighed more on his mind how the end of the war was going to hurt business. And he felt bad about that, but that's what was going through his head. That's the kind of person I think of him as someone who, because of the situation, because of the choices he's made, he has moral clarity when it comes to breaking laws that he thinks are unjust, but because that puts him in the criminal world, he has to do certain things that he still feels justified doing, but that he feels more conflicted about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, that makes him an interesting character to play. Absolutely. But also hard. It is hard. It's challenging for sure. For me, but.
Now, challenging knowing what he would do in a given situation, or just challenging to then say the words, Bill's gonna do X?
That's an excellent question.
Because I've been speaking as though you were saying the former, which is a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
If you're saying the latter, that's just you, dude. I don't know what to do.
No, there's a couple things. It is difficult for me in the moment and, you know, kind of in an improvisational way to get in that space so that I'm thinking of the things instinctively.
Yeah.
So there's that part. But there is also, you know, a sort of a visceral reaction to, you know, just speaking in his voice and saying things that, you know, I mean, it you're right. It shouldn't be a thing that bothers me. It's just a game. It's just a role. Well,
or it's something you can express at the time.
Yeah.
I've definitely had moments where I'm like, God damn it. I think I got to shoot him. And everybody's like, what? And I'm like, I know, but my character X, Y, and Z, that's what my character would do. So yeah, yeah. I shoot him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I make it, no, I don't like, and that's the thing, you want your players to know, like, this is the character, not like, ha ha, now I get to shoot this guy. No, like my character, even if it's like, my character is excited for this, not Tony.
Well, thing, I mean, because there are other people playing who I only know a little bit. I mean, yeah. I've only met before once or twice, like they don't know me personally.
Yeah.
And some of the things I'm going to do are, it's going to have a negative impact on their character. And, yeah. You know, I definitely don't want them to think, hey, you're a perfect stranger to me, but I'm doing this to totally mess with you and your character.
And you got to find ways out of character to sort of work with that. I mean, if they're good gamers, they'll know the difference. But I mean, you know, then you just take a little extra time to like be nice to them out of character or something like that. Yeah. Or,
which, you know, in Zoom, is
cheer them on with good role playing. That's a thing. Like when somebody does really, I'm like, oh, dude, that kicks ass. Like that
kind. Although we're not using Zoom. We're using something else. But
you can also be open about the fact, like, I William is sorry to do this to you, but Bill.
Yeah.
But like I said, if they're decent gamers and if they're gaming with Dave, then they probably are.
Well, and again, I've met all these, everyone, I mean, Mark and Michelle, of course, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if a couple, the other people I have met and have played games with before, so it's not like we're total strangers, yeah. But we don't know each other very well.
There's a huge distinction between your character screwing over characters to make characters' lives more difficult and you playing a character in such a way that makes the game less fun for them.
Mm, yeah.
And only the second one is a shitty thing. The first one can often be an awesome thing because, as a lot of games say, like, what tends to make games good is what makes them interesting. And interesting is not always success. In fact, it frequently is not.
Right. Well, in any case, I'm having a great time with it. It's really fun.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's so nice. It's so fun. It's so exciting that we've been able to do it every week since we started, you know.
Yeah.
Because when there's too long a gap, you sort of lose the mindset, I guess.
We're having that a little bit with my game. We're gaming every week, but like we're not necessarily like this Tuesday, didn't game at all. Because we were just chatting about things and we need that too. So, I mean, sometimes I try and get us back on track and sometimes I'm like, you know what? None of us can really socialize. We need this.
Right. Sure.
Have you noticed our shows have been getting longer?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Well, the reason is because we more often want to fill all the time with just us talking about stuff. But to make sure we get a question in anyway, so that's really what we ask a question when we're already
yeah. But how is that different than
because the
past?
Because the few times where we filled up the time with conversation and didn't have a question, we've just not had a question.
But we've had that too in some of these. I mean, I agree that the ultimate reason is that we fill up the whole time and then we do a question. What I'm saying is, why are we suddenly doing what? Why is that happening?
I don't know.
Both in the sense, I'm choosing to put in questions because I feel like there have been too many where we don't.
Right, right.
But why are we filling up all the time so we have no time for questions?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
see, I'm looking for the root cause.
I honestly, I'm surprised since we started doing it like this that we don't do that more often.
Yeah. I think it may be a similar thing in that this is one of my few social outlets that isn't my wife. And so they're more, I think I may have a more, a stronger need to talk with you than I did before.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's the same for me.
But I just recently, when I was uploading the YouTube videos, I'm like, wow, I would say we are getting closer to an hour and a half average than an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To that end, we got to draw a question, but first I would need to talk about something because we have been watching some, oh, no. I was going to say I watched some movies I want to talk about, but I don't think I did. Nothing good. But we have been watching something. We've been watching part four, the final part of Sabrina.
Mm, yeah, we watched that.
You watched all of it?
Yeah, I thought I mentioned that already. No. Maybe I didn't. Okay.
We are halfway through. Mm. As you know, I've always found that show to be terrible, and I've been hate watching it since the beginning, and I've enjoyed it because of its badness, but it has really come around on itself. The show is actively making Trish and I angry at this point, and I feel like if we didn't know this was the last season, we would be out. It's just so bad, and in particular, Sabrina's the worst person in the world. Like,
yep,
she's terrible. And it used to be like, well, she's a teenager. I'm like, well, she's a combination of the worst aspects of a teenager. Like, everybody still treats her like she's the good guy, both the people that hate her and the people that like her. No, she's awful. And the only times she saves the day are A, because she has very specific metaphysical and genetic qualities that allow it, but also to fix the problems she made by being terrible. She's so bad and dumb. Everybody in the show is so dumb. And it so angry. It's like, it's not even fun for me anymore. I'm just like, I'm mad that they were allowed to spend money on this. Like, it's so bad.
I don't really know why we kept up with it or why we watched four seasons of it. I mean,
it was hilariously bad. It was bad with style. I thought it was really funny how ridiculous it was.
Maybe.
But now it's like, no, it's just, the random music is still there. I do kind of love that because it's just so bizarre. They're like, we're going to have a musical number. Not a real one. Like, people are going to be singing and it's real life that, like, there. It's not like we broke into musical world. No, people are just going to sing. Not for any reason. And sometimes really for bad reasons, but they're just going to sing. Also, every teenager in the show is going to be really obsessed with songs that were popular when they were babies or not born. That's what I really love. Those are the moments that it's so transparent that, like, people my age are writing this show, because teenagers like a lot of, like, early Queen and shit like that. Billy Idol. I'm like, yeah, that's what 16-year-olds are into now.
Yeah, this season they really pushed this idea that she's 16, she's still 16.
And here's another shot of her naked in a bathtub.
Yeah, that makes it all the weirder.
That's been going the whole time. That was going since the pilot.
Right. But this season's got a lot of, you know, a lot of scenes start with two of the characters are in bed together. It's like, are they living together now? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, nobody's sneaking into the other person's house for this to happen. It just happens. You know, 16-year-olds are over at each other's houses spending the night,
also
having sex and whatever. It's like, that's weird.
I'm gonna put this out there. I think I can say this in a spoiler-free way. There are three black women on this show. Total. Ever. Three black women. They are incredibly different characters, different backgrounds, different motivations, different personalities. For some reason, we decided this season to do a lot of heavy hand waving to make them all special in a very specific way together that appears to have nothing to do with the fact that they, again, are the only three black women in this entire universe. I'm not saying that's explicitly a bad thing. It doesn't feel good, though. It feels weird. One in particular really got shoehorned in. I'm like, you could have used somebody else. It feels weird. It feels like we've isolated, like we've corralled them. Like, oh, the black women are all here and they're this. And I don't like it. I don't like it. But no, I told you my theory why the show's ending, didn't I?
I think so, but I don't.
Yeah, maybe we have talked about this because I remember because there are some really good actors on this show. Miranda Otto, the lead whose name I can never remember pronounce, and the one who was Missy on Doctor Who. There's really good actors here. And I think they just got tired of it. They're like, this has been fun, but let's go actually act.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we are dragging our way to the finish line, and then it's not going to be worth it. But also, fucking continuity. And this has been a thing throughout the show, but it is really bad now. This season started with one of the major characters going by a fake name because they were doing some new secret shit. And we know this because somebody showed up pretending to be that character's wife and gave the new name, telling a person about it. The very next episode, that person she had been talking to is calling that guy by his original name. And the one who was pretending to be his wife is now pretending to, or is now acting like she's his child, which is how she was acting before. But I'm like, did you guys not see the previous episode? She specifically said, hi, I'm the wife of new fake name. And then by the very next episode, he's calling her child. She's calling him father. I'm like, okay, maybe it's a kink or whatever. And then the person who she told this to is calling him by his regular name.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't really follow that.
And the ways that they like to pick, this has been throughout too. They pick up and drop plot points. The number of times where Trisha's like, whatever happened to that serious issue where we had blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nothing, it's gone. Or they'll be doing something and she's like, this is the first I'm hearing about this. And I'm like, no, two seasons ago, they mentioned it for a hot second. Now it's a big item. So bad. So bad.
I think it could have been good. I think it could have been good. I mean, I think.
Well, apparently this is based off of a reboot comic called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that apparently was really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of the Archie comics back in the day.
Yeah, no, back in the day. But what I'm saying is they recently rebooted it into a new thing. That was because back in the day, she was a teenage witch. And they rebooted it in a way, so no, she's a fucking Satanist and things like this. And it was like darker and freakier. And that's what this show is based off of. I don't know if the plot is based off of it, but the premise. And they apparently were, it was really good, apparently.
Really? Because it didn't, it's never worked for TV as far as I can tell. I mean, a lot of the Satanist stuff is, it feels like, oh, let's be Christians, but it's opposite day.
Yeah, well, and they play it real light. They play it's like a sitcom where someone's a Satanist. Like, they're Satanists, but in a jokey way. And apparently the comic did not do that. Because I was really impressed at first. I was like, holy shit, we're really going for this. We all worship Satan and hate God. That's pretty ballsy. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. All it means is that we switch around our curse words and our nice words.
Yeah, so weird. It's like, this is interesting.
Yeah. And what I love is how pernicious that facet has been, because a lot of things have happened in ways that we shouldn't really be doing that anymore, but we're still doing it. It's a terrible show. Anyway, let's draw a question.
Okay.
Today's question is brought to you by the letter S for stew.
Oh, wow. Stew.
Ooh, I like this question. What activities do you enjoy that, by doing them, are positive indicators of your mental health? And this is a tricky question to me, because if you switched it to negative indicators of your mental health, I could answer this question in a heartbeat, and I would have a lot of very specific answers. There are a lot of things that I do that I like, I enjoy doing, but if I'm at a point where I enjoy doing them and I'm doing them, that's not a good sign that I'm doing well. Like self-destructive behaviors that I want to do. And it's a positive sign when I don't want to do those things. But the opposite, I feel like there are some. I mean, I guess exercise is a good one, because I do enjoy exercise, but there's that lift to get to it, to be like I come up with excuses not to do it. And then when I do it, I like doing it, and I like that I did it. And so if I get to a point where I'm doing it regularly, I'm like, that's a good sign. What else? Writing is probably there, because I have motivational issues there, but it's usually a good sign when I'm doing that. I don't know. I feel like there should be more of these. What do you think?
What's the question again?
What activities do you enjoy that, by doing them, are positive indicators of your mental health?
I cannot think of a single thing. I mean, I can think of things I enjoy, but I don't know if I've ever thought of them as being positive or negative
indicators. That you like doing and they're good for you too. Well, let me see if I can rephrase this in a way that might help. What are things you do that you think are good for your mental health that you're not doing just for the sake of your mental health, but because you actually just like enjoying that thing?
The podcast. I think it's one of those
things. That's a good answer. I mean, I think that's a wrong answer.
Why is it wrong?
I don't think this helps your mental health at all. I think this is slowly deteriorating you into some sort of monstrous creature like I am. But, I mean, it fits the paradigm. Yeah, I could see that. I think that is probably a good one. And it's probably true of me as well.
Just about anything I do with Abby is that way. I think the role-playing thing that we're doing, helping Dave playtest, I think that's one of those things. Today, I pretty much any time I'm doing like writing or what I consider productive work, you know, in my job, you know, I'm sort of self-employed. Like today, I worked on my website because I was having a problem with the I redid the website a couple of years ago, and I never had it figured out, the webcomic. I had it in a gallery, and the gallery, there was no way to display the pictures in a way where you could read all the text. And it was a mess. And I think only somewhere between now and a couple of years ago when I first did this, I think they've improved the options for how the gallery can look, so that I could finally find a way of displaying the pictures. So now you can read it. Although the downside is that when you go to my webcomic now, when you open it, the first comic is there. All the comics sort of all go by until all 104 of them go by. So if you go in to read my comic now, every time you go to it, it'll start with the first one. So let's say you read up to the 50th one, you're going to have to scroll and scroll and scroll to get to the 50th one, which isn't that big a deal, but it's not the way I prefer it. I'd rather you'd go someplace and there'd be like a whole bunch of thumbnails and you can read them one at a time.
Yeah.
And then if you end at 50, you can just go in. Well, anyway, so this is the way it works. It's not perfect, But I had to take almost the whole day to put them in order and all of this stuff. And even though that was work and a lot of stuff that didn't feel like I was creating anything, it yeah. still felt like I was, you know, taking care of my business, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's also good, because that's a really good webcomic and people should read it.
Well, also, I had a chance to sort of read most of it and feel good about that, because I appreciate you saying that it's a good webcomic, because as I was reading it, I thought, this is actually not too bad.
Well, and full disclosure, I haven't read it in like 10 or 15 years, but I imagine it holds up.
I do wish people would go back and read it. It's in a fairly good format now. It's all in order.
The and blog also, is still jesusismygrandpappy.com.
No, it's Aether Theater, which my name in the blog, you know, whenever I put anything in the blog, my name is a link. If you click on it, it goes right to my webpage, and you just go down to the link that goes into webcomics and you can read it. Some of it's kind of timely, even, because there's an election in it. Do you remember there was an election in the webcomic?
Oh, yeah, I guess there was.
There's actually an election in it and things. So I don't know. When I was reading it, I thought, wow, this is actually not too bad. I mean, not just the story aspects of it, but the photo aspects of it actually weren't
so
too bad.
You've removed the whole part about how you're descended from Jesus?
Oh, yeah, that's been gone for years.
Holy blood, holy blog.
That's been gone for years. Because actually, now when I first did that, it got a lot of attention. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but lots of people came to the blog, and most of them weren't very nice, which was hilarious to me.
I always found that one amazing, because it felt very out of character for you to me, because I'm like, well, I here's what it came down to. I got why you thought it was funny, and I didn't find it offensive, and I understood why other people did, but I wasn't bothered by that. Problem is, I didn't find it that funny. So it seemed weird to me that like you were willing to just piss people off for a joke that I'm like, it's not that good a joke.
I thought it was hilarious.
I know you did.
I mean, you know, to each his own, I guess, but
you were way into it. Yeah.
Hilarious.
No, I remember when you first explained it to me, you couldn't stop laughing.
And the whole time I had it up there, and every time someone would come and be mean about it. Don't forget,
this is the blog that gave us What Do Heck, which I still use to this day.
Now, another part of it, though, that maybe you don't know about, or maybe you do, and it doesn't mean anything to you personally, but another part of it was that when people would come and they were mean, I was so amused by this that it didn't make me mad or whatever. And so I would respond to people. But I mean, I don't think I made fun of them, but
I think you forgave them a lot, if memory serves.
Well, I think I was pretty nice to them.
No, but I mean very explicitly forgave them.
Sure.
May have called them my child on occasion.
Yeah, stuff like that. And the thing is, though,
you turned the other cheek hard.
The thing is, which was also really, really funny to me, but I actually got compliments from people who liked that whatever I was doing, that some toxicity would come in, and they thought I was really good at disarming it, right? And I wasn't trying to make the person feel bad or humiliate the person, but I definitely didn't take them seriously, and I didn't take myself seriously. And I think a lot of people found that to be very refreshing. I mean, I had more than a few.
And that's where it surprises me. I didn't have any problem with it, but you not taking others seriously is a weird concept in my head. In my mind, you take everyone very seriously. But you very much didn't.
I think most people who know me I mean, I know a lot of people who I've known personally, maybe including Abby, she could maybe speak to this, where one of the things they like about me in their relationship is I help them not take some of the things in their own life too seriously.
Now, things is a different issue. Things versus people. The idea that there are people out there who have these horrible, toxic ideas, I could see you not taking seriously.
Right.
People coming to you and speaking to you via the blog, that I have a harder time
with. Well, that's what I mean. I didn't attack them personally or put them down or try to humiliate them, but I did critique their ideas and show how sometimes they didn't make any sense. And I tried to do it in a way that helped them understand that it wasn't personal. I didn't even know them, but you know.
Yeah. No, and all commendable stuff. Why did you change it? Why did you change it?
Because it wasn't bringing traffic. It wasn't, the whole idea of it sort of lost its luster and I just needed to do something different. So, but I did that a long time ago. I kept everything the same except the name and I changed a few other things. And then, I didn't keep up with updating the all of the software and stuff behind the site. So there was file corruption and all this stuff. And so 2 years ago, I changed the site to something else that would be easier for me to maintain. But long before that, I changed it to Aether Theater, like I want to say it was before we started this podcast, but it was probably after.
It's possible because, I mean, I think I remember linking stuff to Aether Theater. But yeah. I just haven't hung around since back when it was.
Geez. But right now, if you go to Aether Theater,
wait, so that domain's open? I can snag that domain?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm all over that.
But right now, if you go to Aether Theater, you can get a link to my books, which I would love it if everybody read them, but you know, it's up to you. A link to the music that I've done with my friend Chris, a link to the movies, the short films we've done, including the one that you're in. A link to the webcomic, a link to some short fiction that I've written. So lots of the stuff, not all of it. Oh, and there's a link to the other podcasts I've done, but only two of them because it's going to take me a lot of work to put the podcast that I've done with my brother Scott and with Jazz on there. So it's still not done. But
wait, so what is on there? Oh, you mean only two episodes?
I'm sorry. Yeah. An episode of Screenshots and an episode of
Okay. Grapevine. I was like, so besides those two podcasts, you did two other podcasts?
No, there's just the two episodes.
Grape one shot, of each. Yes.
So.
And for those of you who haven't been around since the early days, Williams' novels are unfortunately titled through no fault of his own, but they are very good. I highly recommend reading them.
If you go to Aether Theater and you go to the link that gets to my books and you purchase them on the site that I haven't posted on lulu.com, I get more of a commission from those than if you were to get them from like Barnes and Noble or Amazon, but you can get them at Barnes and Noble and Amazon too. So
is there an electronic version on Lulu?
Yes. Really? On all of you can get every type of ebook format. You can get them in Lulu or at Barnes and Noble or at Amazon. But if you want to find them in any of those other places, you have to look under my pen name of Clifton D. Hawk. That's not under my name.
So, it's middle initial D. It's not like Clifton D. Hawk.
Yeah, middle initial D. Or D-E-E.
Maybe I'll buy them for my Kindle then, because I haven't. Well, first of all, I only ever bought the first one. I always just read copies from you or the others because
I'm
a bastard.
Right. No, that's fine.
But also it's about time I reread them, so maybe I'll grab them from my Kindle.
That would be very kind of you to do that. But
and
yeah,
you can see our award-winning short film, Inquire Within.
It is award-winning.
It is literally award-winning. We got the
love it.
The long form category award at Cedar Falls Film Festival.
You know what was the most interesting to me about the feedback I got on that from one of the judges was he said when he first watched it, he was concerned about the pacing, but then when he watched it with an audience, he understood why it was paced that way, because when people reacted to it, I mean, when Gert and I edited it, we thought about, you know, the audience reaction. We wanted the audience to have and apparently we did it exactly right, because when we screened it for an audience,
oh yeah,
it was pretty much perfect.
The beats hit just right. Yeah.
No. Right. But the critic, or I'm sorry, the judge, when he watched it, he didn't take that into account, I guess. But later he realized that we actually edited it quite well.
It's for being a really simple comedic film, it has tension in it. And there are places where you play it out and places where you cut it and things like that. And so, yeah, there are things that on paper seem too long, but it's a very intentional. The edit is not at all haphazard. And the only reason we didn't make the best of the whole show, we lost to a really awesome film that was just gorgeously shot. But of the finalists, it was us and that film, and I'm going to be honest, a really shitty film that just happened to be the best of the short form ones. So as I've always said, we got second place at that film festival, but we won for our length. So award winning. All right, people.
And I think it's still good. I think Will versus Chocolate's good. I think they're all good.
Yeah, I haven't seen, I rewatched Will versus Chocolate more recently than the, I don't even remember what the Green Machine one is called.
Junior Park Patrol.
Junior Park Patrol! Yes. But mine's the best. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's not bragging if it's true. All right, people.
You were great in it. You were so good in it. It was just awesome.
And I credit that to Percocet and Diet Coke. I was on so much of both. We had the timetable, so I knew when I could take more Percocet during the shoot. And the big old chair I'm sitting in has a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke in it that I would pull out in between takes.
And Trish was there. She's credited as the Trish Tony Wrangler. There
as the Tony Wrangler. Yes. Yes. We did it at Mick's mom's house. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Awesome. That was a great time.
Yeah, I know. It was a great
really
shoot.
Really fun. Really fun.
I was high as balls. severe back pain. I wasn't just for the fun of it, but All right, people. That's it for 2021. Let's all be quiet until the next year. No, we'll be back next week. And in the meantime, you guys stay safe and sane and all that jazz. And some sort of funny ending.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.